Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Maxine, The Devil's Bath, and Kidnapped, The Abduction of Edgardo Mortara.
I'd like to talk about a couple of horror movies, and then a movie which is a horror of a different sort, but much more serious in various ways. I'd like to start talking about Maxine, and that is Maxxxxxine, because it is Maxine spelled with three X's in the middle, because, yeah, a big subject of this movie is the making of what used to be called X-rated movies. I'm not sure if that phrase is still very much around. But, you know, dirty movies, pornographic movies, and Maxine, the new one, written and directed by Ty West, is the third movie in Ty West's trilogy about sort of the making of pornographic movies, focusing on a couple of main characters, one of whom is Maxine Minx. Anyway, that is her stage name or her film name. The first movie in this trilogy was called, Ty West is not a particularly subtle filmmaker. So the first one was called X. Okay, very nice. That came out a couple of years ago. And then there was a prequel, which was actually filmed at the same time, but came out a little bit later, which was called Pearl, an extraordinary origin story. Again, not very subtle, but we have here another character named Pearl. And now we have the third movie in the trilogy. It might not even be the last one. There's been a little bit of buzz about a possible fourth film coming out. But this one is, again, simply called Maxine. And it stars Mia Goth, who is the star of all of these movies. So here's the basic idea. The trilogy started with the movie called X, which was about a little group of people who had never made a movie before. And they decide they're going to make a whole new kind of movie, a pornographic film. This is back in the late 1970s. And so they go to a rented farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, and they all start making their little pornographic movie. But there is one of the owners of the farmhouse, who's a woman named Pearl. Well, she turns out to be completely insane. And she causes all kinds of mayhem because she doesn't approve of what they're doing. So she does something a lot worse. She starts killing people. So that was the movie X a couple of years ago. Then we had the prequel, Pearl, which is all about how that old crazy murderous woman got that way. And we meet her way, way back before even the 1920s. It's about 1918. And we meet Pearl and we find out that she loves silent movies, which are the only kind of movies there are in 1918. And she loves dancing and she loves things like that. And she wants to somehow get away into that world. And she has a love affair with a movie projectionist. But as time goes along, it turns out that, yeah, there is something very wrong going on inside her. And she becomes the serial killer who we saw in that first movie, X. So Pearl was the prequel. Now we have the sequel to both of those movies, Maxine. And Maxine deals with a third kind of a phenomenon, which is the transition of pornographic movies from film to video with the advent of video. This movie takes place in the 1980s. And we now have Maxine, who is she wants to be an actor. She wants to be a big actor. She is appearing in pornographic movies. She goes and she auditions for a real, actual type Hollywood movie. And that's one sort of strand that's going on in the film. But in the meanwhile, she is still acting in the pornographic film world. And people she knows start getting murdered. So that brings in a couple of additional characters, a couple of police officers. All of this is in Los Angeles, by the way, in Hollywood, basically. So these two detectives come in, played by Bobby Cannavale and Michelle Monaghan, and they're trying to get her to help their investigation and find out who's killing these people, because Maxine appears to be the connecting link here. They all seem to be people that she knows. So that's going on. And then there's another character who is played by Kevin Bacon, a wonderful actor, although it's a fairly small and fairly monotonous part, but he's very good in it. And he is trying to track her down for some mysterious employer of his. And we find out that that employer has very, very evil intentions, and that the private eye himself turns out to have very evil intentions. And he and Maxine get into a horrible, deadly feud. So all of this stuff is going on, and it's a little bit complicated, but not very complicated. And through all of this, Maxine is trying to get her her career going as a real actor. And the movie that she's appearing in is itself a sequel called The Puritan 2. And we have the relationship between her and her director, who is a woman, a very no-nonsense sort of autocratic woman. And all of this stuff is going on. So we have a lot of different sort of plots and subplots, all of them, however, centering on Maxine. So how is Maxine as a movie? Well, I have never particularly liked this trilogy. I've never found it all that compelling. I rather like horror movies, and I like good, creative, original horror movies. But all of these films, X and Pearl and now Maxine, all seem to be kind of trying too hard. What's interesting about Maxine is its portrait of Hollywood back in the 1980s. I wouldn't credit it with a whole lot of necessarily authenticity, but it has some authentic details, and we do see little things about the fading of the film world and the coming of the video world and so forth and so on. And it's sort of fun to watch in that respect. I don't think Mia Goth is an especially talented actor. I don't really think that Ty West has a whole lot going as a writer and director. He seems to have really quite a limited range. It's sort of fun if you like pornographic movies, if you like horror movies, if you like the combination of the two, you'll get a little bit of that sort of a buzz in Maxine. But my basic response to Maxine is so many X's, so little real excitement. So now I'd like to move to a more serious and actually much more interesting horror movie. Some people are saying it's not even exactly a horror movie at all because it is so serious and it has such interesting themes, especially religious themes and historical themes. This is The Devil's Bath, which is a German and Austrian production written and directed by Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz. And I think they really know what they are doing. This is a very, very good film in a lot of ways. It takes place way back in the 18th century, around the 1750s. And we are dealing with people, basically peasants, who live way out in the middle of woods. And they have a community out there, and they do various things together, and they do something separately, and they fish, and they got to get food. And it's a very, very hard scrabble life. And the movie is very good in its depiction of just how difficult it is to live a day-to-day life way back there in the middle of the 18th century, in the middle of a forest. So the very beginning of the movie lets you know a little bit what you're in for. A woman finds a baby sort of lying out there in the forest, takes the baby, and does not exactly rescue the baby, rather throws the baby down a waterfall, thereby killing it, and then immediately goes to a hut in the area and says, "I've committed a crime." Then we get into the main body of the film, which starts off with the wedding of two young people. And obviously, they're going to get married, and they want to have kids and all that. But it soon turns out that the husband, whose name is Wolf, doesn't really want to have kids. We find out that he is doing things to prevent himself having kids. Namely, he's not really having sex with his young wife, whose name is Agnes. So what is going on here? In the meanwhile, we see a whole lot of their eking out their existence in this very, very difficult environment, trying to get through the day and the week and the month and the year and all this this very difficult life that they have. Along the way, we begin to find out other things about the community. We begin to find about little rivalries that go on. We see a whole lot of their ceremonies. The wedding of Wolf and Agnes is shown in great detail over quite a period of time. So the movie is about 2 hours long. It really delves into things. It's a very interesting look at this sort of peasant life. So, okay, that's what the movie seems to be about. But as time goes on, Agnes, perhaps because she is not able to have the baby that she really wants, perhaps for other reasons, she is very, very increasingly discontented with her life. She's not happy with how things are going. She's a little bit happy with Wolf, but not very happy. She tries to go back to her family, but they won't take her in. So she's stuck staying with Wolf. So anyway, that's what's going on here. Then as the movie gets into its latter phases, Agnes's unhappiness and in fact misery and mental instability grow very, very great. And I won't give away what happens at the end of the movie, but she commits a very drastic and pretty awful act. And then we see what comes from all of that. One of the themes of this movie is that the cycles of life in this community, where it's so difficult to just earn your daily living and get by, the cycles of life are very, very persistent. And in a way, the movie ends more or less the way it began. The Devil's Bath is a really serious, a really carefully done movie. Again, it's a horror movie. It really is. And I will warn you that here and there, not often, but here and there, it has some real awful bloodshed. But it's also very much a psychological study, and I see it mainly as a psychological study. A study of a person who is gradually going crazy in a world which itself is the normal world for everybody who lives there, but by today's standards seems extremely difficult and maybe even sort of crazy itself. The very end of the movie is a text which makes clear the very strong feminist subtext of this film. It's a really interesting movie. So I think The Devil's Bath is one of the better movies I've seen this year, certainly one of the better, maybe the best horror movie I've seen this year. And again, it's even more a psychological study than a horror movie. And on that level, I commend it. Also, it's really well photographed on 35 millimeter film, not done on video. It looks excellent. And the acting is really, really solid. So a good, strong, serious psychological horror movie, The Devil's Bath. Final movie today is the most serious of the bunch, Kidnapped, The Abduction of Edgardo Mortara. This is a movie that was directed and co-written by Marco Vellocchio, a very major Italian filmmaker who's been around for a lot of years. His best movie is still from very early in his career, a movie called Fists in the Pocket. I wouldn't say it's necessarily his best, but certainly one of his best and probably his most famous. But he's been around for a very long time. And Kidnapped, The Abduction of Edgardo Mortara is a really serious and interesting historical drama. So now we're dealing in the late 1950s, and we start off with a Jewish family, and some people come in and take away a little boy who's about 6 years old. They just take him away. Who are these people who have abducted this little boy from his family? Well, they are the local Roman Catholics. We are in Italy here, and it is a very Catholic country then as now. And it turns out that if you are baptized, you are now regarded as a Catholic. Well, this is a Jewish boy. His whole family's Jewish. He's Jewish, as far as he knows. He's only 6 years old. So how can this be? Well, it turns out that apparently he was secretly baptized. Apparently someone close to the family, I won't give away who, took him and secretly baptized him. And that makes him, in the eyes of the Catholic authorities, it makes him a Catholic. And so they take him away from his Jewish family and they stick him into a home for people like him. People who are now going to be initiated properly into the Catholic Church, the Catholic religion, the Catholic way of life. So much of this movie is about the efforts of his Jewish family to get him back. They try legal means, they try going to various authorities, they try everything they can. They don't really get into criminal means, but they try every legal means or semi-legal means there might be of getting their little boy back. But they really don't succeed. In the meanwhile, over the course of the film, and this film is well over 2 hours long, the little boy grows up. And as he grows up, he goes into different phases of his own life, but he is still in the middle of this community of Catholics who are determined to keep him Catholic and determined to keep him with them. If they ever feel he has authentically and in the depths of his heart converted to Catholicism, then they might let him go back to his family. But he doesn't really feel able to do that. Maybe he just isn't able because he's so young. But again, over the course of the film, he grows older. And in the meanwhile, all the time, his family is still trying to get him back. But the authorities are not convinced that he has thoroughly come over to their way of thinking, their way of life, their way of believing. And so they just keep him. And that's the way the movie goes until finally, by the end of the film, he is a young man. Well, I'm not going to reveal how this film turns out, but I found it to have a very, very surprising and interesting and unusual conclusion. It's all based apparently on real events. Just as the last movie I talked about, the German movie, The Devil's Bath, was based on research that was done into 18th century life in Austria. Kidnapped is based on a real case, apparently. And I just found it really dramatic and really involving. It's not a rapid film. It takes its time, but the acting is really wonderful. Again, the cinematography is really deep and rich and looks beautiful. And the story is so dramatic, as we have this little boy growing up into a young man in this very strange situation where he is being held prisoner, not really prisoner, it's pretty nice circumstances he's in, by the Roman Catholic community, all the while his Jewish family trying to get him back. Quite a fascinating movie. Kidnapped, The Abduction of Edgardo Mortara, an Italian movie and one of the best films I have seen this year. And that is my somewhat horrific, somewhat religious story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films Maxine, The Devil's Bath, and Kidnapped, The Abduction of Edgardo Mortara.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.